You guys are aliens, and we come from a planet called what?
Heaven.
Heaven is our home, and we come from planet Heaven. You've all been sent here from Heaven. And last week we talked about the language of Heaven inhabitants is the language of faith. The language of people that aren't Christians is the language of fear. So we have to be so careful to not speak the language of fear and speak the language of faith. And then we talked about our supernatural language, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this amazing heavenly language that's been given to us to supernaturally pray and to supernaturally communicate with God. It's pretty amazing what God has done. You know, our culture is obsessed with superheroes. Do you guys know that? I mean, the Marvel movies that have come out, Marvel Comics, I mean, they just keep producing movie after movie. The recent one is The Guardian of the Galaxy, right? Anybody see it yet? Guardian of the Galaxy, all right? They say it's supposed to be pretty good. But this is, you know, based on the Marvel Comics. And a brash adventurer, Peter Quill, finds himself the object of an unrelenting bounty hunt after stealing a mysterious orb coveted by Ronan, a powerful villain with ambitions that threaten the entire universe. Isn't that always the case? The entire universe is threatened. And to evade the ever-persistent Ronan, Quill is forced into an uneasy truce with a quartet of disparate misfits rocket, a gun-toting raccoon, Groot, all right, a tree-like humanoid, the deadly and enigmatic Gamora, and the revenge of driven Drax the Destroyer. I can't even pronounce all that. But when Quill discovers the true power of the orb and the menace it possesses to the cosmos, he must do his best to rally his ragtag rivals for a last desperate stand with the galaxy's fate in the balance. Oh my gosh. Amazing. I don't know about you, but I find these movies rather boring, but I'll go just because, you know, normally they're pretty clean, you know, and fun to watch. But I heard this one was done really well. But let me just add this as a bonus. This is not going to cost you anything. We watched the Noah movie. Talk about the most unbiblical waste of time I've ever, the most unbiblical 2 hours I've ever spent in my life. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Really? I'm just adding that for free. It's like, come on. Did you guys even crack the Bible open? I mean, obviously you didn't. You read the first three sentences about Noah, and that's about it. I'm thinking, oh, can this movie get any worse? And it just got worse and worse and worse. And, you know, at the end when Noah wants to kill his daughters, I'm thinking, turn this thing off. You know, you just want to, like, scream. It's stupid. Don't even spend your money. It's just stupid, okay? I already did. Yeah, you wasted it just like me. It's dumb. Now, you know, when you know the Bible, it just makes you angry. You know, it's like, can't you guys just, the movie itself is interesting enough. I mean, the story in the Bible is interesting enough. It's amazing. Typical Hollywood, it doesn't reflect who God is, his mercy, his grace, his plan, nothing. It's just like, Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest. You guys out there? All of these superhero films, did you know they find their inspiration from the Bible? We are obsessed with the supernatural, and we're always looking for ways to tap into it. Why? Because man was created for a supernatural. He was created for it. We are interested in it. I mean, God made us in his image, in his class. We were made in God's class. We are distinct from all other creatures. God didn't give us four legs, and he didn't give us fins to swim in the water and breathe under the sea. He made us in his image. We look like God. God looks like us. When we get to heaven, God's not going to have three legs, and you know, he's not going to have four heads, and you know, we're going to look like him. He has a head, two arms, two legs, two eyeballs, a nose, a mouth. We're going to be able to relate to God. Amen? Because he looks like us, and we look like him. We were created to look just like him. Handsome. Beautiful. Pretty. Yet distinct from all living creatures. Made with the ability to fellowship with God. And we were made with the ability to operate like him on the earth. He didn't just make us to look like him. He made us to operate like him on the earth. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. I think we have the NIV up there, but I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. It says this, For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Everything that we have is from him. Everything that we are is from him directly. When Jesus came to the earth, he showed us a standard of living that's actually available to us. He demonstrated a standard of living that's available to us. He showed us what a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit looks like. And he demonstrated that for the years he was on this earth. I mean, the Gospels, you guys, they're like Superman stories. It's pretty cool. I mean, you think about it. Think of all the movies you ever watched, all the supernatural things you've ever seen in the movies. I mean, think about people are sinking on water and Jesus walks on it. That's awesome. Superman. Think about every time his enemies try to capture him, he's untouchable. Sounds like a movie, The Untouchables. Is that a movie? All right, awesome. Number three, hundreds of soldiers try to capture him. And he says two words and they all fall to the ground. Now that's cool. Superman Jesus, right? I mean, he dominates the physical realm and he does it without any costume. You know, he doesn't have one of those incredible Elastoman costumes or anything like that. He does it without a costume. I mean, you know, he has clothes on, obviously. Religious people will say this, yeah, but Jesus was different. Yeah, definitely he was different. He was the Son of God. But he was the only human being on the planet since Adam and Eve, full of the nature of God. Full of the life of God. As born-again Christians, guess what? We are full of that same life and that same nature. When you become a Christian, when you decide to follow him, you get full of the same life and the nature that Jesus operated with on the earth. Same life, same nature, same power. Now, Jesus also said this. He said, and he told the people this, that the power was not his power. Wasn't his power. And he and of himself could not do the miracles. So what he said repetitively. Look at John chapter 5. I want to prove it because I've said it a lot, but I want you to see it. Now, this goes against all religion. This will go against all denominational teaching. And this is the reason why all religious people and denominations that don't believe what I'm teaching this morning will have no victory and live in no power in their lives. Live with no power. They'll be sick, poor, and dying. God wants you healthy, rich, and living. Amen? This is what he said in John 5:30. I have the New King James Version. It says, I can of myself what? Do nothing. I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. Now that, you read that scripture and you think, wow, I never saw that before. I mean, he was Jesus, he was the Son of God. Isn't God all powerful? Yes, he is. But he said, I can of myself do nothing. In John 14:10, let's go there. John 14:10, he said this. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Jesus lived and operated on this earth as a man anointed by God and filled with the Holy Spirit. He came here to demonstrate to us this standard of living full of life and full of faith that we can attain to, that's possible for us to live in. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, how God anointed, how our Father, Heavenly Father, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. If Jesus operated as God on this earth, and if he was born with the power already in him, he would not have to be anointed by the Holy Spirit in power. He wouldn't have had to go through the baptism by John at the beginning of his ministry. If he was filled with power, we would read more about the first 30 years of life and the miracles that happened, but no miracles happened prior to him being filled with the Holy Spirit. The first miracle was when he changed the water into wine. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know how religious people will explain that. I mean, if Jesus is God, why would he have to be anointed? Yes, he was the Son of God. But he stripped himself of everything that would give him an advantage. And he came to earth as a man. It's awesome. He was sent on a mission. And he was given the power for that mission to back up the words. We also have been sent on a mission. He was sent on a mission from heaven, and we've been sent on a mission from heaven. Once you become born again, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you change citizenships. You no longer are a citizen of this world. You are a citizen of heaven. You come from heaven. Amen? You will someday go back to heaven, to the country where you belong. Once you receive Christ as your Savior and you're transformed, you're born again, you don't fit here anymore. Did you notice that? The way that people talk and the way that people live and the way that people complain and the things that people do, it rubs you the wrong way. It convicts your heart. Why? Because God lives in you. Because you've been given a higher standard of living, a higher standard of speaking, a higher standard of thinking. God's transformed you and changed you and is changing you from the inside out. Amen? You don't want to be like them anymore. And you feel for them and you want to help them because we've been sent on a mission to preach to them so that they can experience the same freedom and the same power that we're experiencing. We love them. We love the world. For God so loved the world, we love the world. We have a heart for people. We have a heart to see their lives changed. And have you ever seen somebody's lives so messed up and you've tried to speak to them before and you know that you've got the answer and you wish that they would just listen to you one time? And you preach and you try to speak to them and you try to plant seeds and you pray for them and you just know that all the things they're going through, all the psychological issues and all the counseling and all the addiction problems and all the things that are happening, you know that if they could get a hold of this Jesus, and if they could get a hold of this power, and if they could get a hold of this revelation that they're not from this world, they're from a different country, amen? They belong to a different world, and there's power from that world, and there's a mandate from that world, and there's purpose from that world. And God sent us here for a reason, to rescue people and to reunite them with their Heavenly Father. That was the message, and that was the mission of Jesus, sent on a mission from heaven. Therefore, he sent Jesus, and he empowered him, and he's sent us, and he's empowered us. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 12. Because religious people, they don't like this. They don't like this verse. They don't like this scripture. They will try to explain it away somehow. Verse 12 says, "Verily, or very truly, I tell you," Jesus says, "whoever believes in me," do we have any believers out there this morning? "Will do the works that I have been doing." Now, the works that Jesus was doing was what? He's healing people. He's healing the paralytics. He's opening blind eyes. He's casting demons out of people. He's interrupting funerals and raising people from the dead. Now, that I don't know about you, but that will blow your Christian, it'll blow your whole religious mind. Those were the things that he was doing. He's walking on water. He's evading capture. Amazing. He's preaching to thousands with wisdom. He's feeding the 5,000 twice, 5,000 plus. All these things are the things that he's been doing. But look what he says. "And they who believe will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." So you think about all that Jesus did, he told us, the believers. Not just the pastors, not just the evangelists, not just the pastor of the big 10,000 member church, not just the Christian author who's written 20 books. The believer. He told the believers that they would do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Now that does not fit our Christian thinking. Most of us haven't stepped out into any of that kind of realm. We've seen some miracles here and there, and we've witnessed some things here and there that other people have prayed for, but how many would love to get to the place where God is actually using you to do these things? Actually, God working miracles through your hands and speaking life to dead people and raising them up through your voice. This is what Jesus said. Nominal Christians will say, "Yeah, okay, well, the greater things that this are this, you know, if we all collectively together are doing more than Jesus did because there's more believers today than there was back then, so that's what the greater things are." That's what religious people will do to try to explain that away. This scripture is really staggering. It blows your mind. You can try to philosophize it away. It just doesn't work. You can't explain it. A believer. See, cowardly Christians will find a way to explain this away. Christians, they sit and they blame God for the lack of this and the lack of that and the lack of power and make excuses. Or we go to this other realm. We think, okay, if that's what Jesus said, then in order to get to that place where we're actually doing some of these things and hopefully maybe later on in our life, even greater things than Jesus did, then we're going to have to pray more, we're going to have to fast more, we're going to have to beg more. That God would somehow give us more power and lead us more and direct us more and give us more wisdom. Now, I'm not saying we don't have to pray more. I'm not saying we don't have to fast. I am saying we don't have to beg. But our praying is this, and our fasting is this, to get us in tune with Him and His voice so that He can direct us and lead us and guide us to do these greater things that He's already prepared ahead of time for us. So you think about it, how many opportunities have we missed because we're not in tune to the voice of God and in relationship with Him? Thank God for His forgiveness, right? Thank God for His mercy. You can say, Lord, forgive me for not obeying or forgive me for not being bold enough. But I hope that after this series that we get this whole perspective of heaven, that when you have a perspective of where you're from and you know that you're from heaven, it'll make you more bold than you've ever been bold before. Why? Because you're not on this earth to please people. We're not on this earth to be for a popularity contest. Amen? We're on this earth to please God. And when you try to please God and when you obey God, people aren't going to like you sometimes. They're not going to like you. They're not going to be endeared to you. They're not going to be your friend. Others will be, thank God. But Christians, they sit and they blame God for the lack of this and they make excuses. But folks, this morning I want to let you know, we have the same equipment as Jesus. How can we replicate what Jesus did if we don't have the same equipment that He did? It doesn't make sense. How can we do greater things than Jesus did if we don't have the same power that Jesus did? You can't. What I think is, in all reality, is we have way too much. We don't have a deficiency problem. We have an awareness problem. We don't have a deficiency problem. We have an awareness problem. Paul knew this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. This is what Paul knew. Remember we talked about last week how, you know, we don't want to pray, if it be thy will, especially in the way of healing. Do you know that Jesus never prayed, if it be thy will, except for one time, and that was in the garden? Except for one time, and that was in the garden. Did Mike, are you talking about that this week? I like that. He never, when someone came up to him for healing, he didn't pray, well, if it be thy will, God, Heavenly Father, is it your will for this one to be healed? No, he prayed for everyone. There were times, it says, the testimony of Christ in his ministry, that everyone got healed at the meeting. They were all healed. Amazing. But here, Paul understood this. Paul was praying a prayer, and then he recorded this prayer in his letter, and he sent it to Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus, and to the Ephesians, to teach them about this awareness thing. Because we don't have a deficiency problem, we have an awareness problem, and Paul understood this. And so he writes this prayer down, which is amazing. In verse 17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That's what he's praying for. So that you may know Him better, so that you may have a greater revelation of who He is, so that you may understand what He's given you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his people, and his incomparably great power for us who what? For us who what? Come on. For us who what? Believe. It doesn't say for us who are pastors, for us who are evangelists, for us who are the 12 disciples. It doesn't say that. It says for us who believe. This incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted, Christ exerted when, or God the Father exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in the believer. Hallelujah. Come on, that's amazing. That is awesome. That makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. That makes me want to stand up and just jump up and down and go, woo! The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Lives in me. Why? Because I'm a believer. I believe. And Paul knew that the Ephesians, they didn't have a deficiency problem. They had an awareness problem. And if they could take this prayer, if we could take this prayer, you know, this is the kind of prayer where you can personalize and put on the wall and pray this prayer out loud every day. And within a few weeks, you will begin to comprehend and understand the revelation of what God has placed in you. And then God will begin to give you opportunities to use the power that's in you to minister life and healing to the people around you. Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you would give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know you better. I pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which you have called me, the riches of your glorious inheritance to your holy people, and your incomparable great power for me because I believe. That is an amazing prayer. This is the kind of prayer that you can pray over and over. And this is one of those everyday prayers you can pray over and over again. And all of a sudden, something's going to kick in. All of a sudden, it's no longer this mind thing that you've written down and placed on your mirror. All of a sudden, it travels the 14 inches from your brain down into your heart. And the revelation of it is like, whoa, I got the power living in me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That'd be great to tell your friends at lunch, wouldn't it? Hey, guess what? I got the power of the risen Christ living in me. Anybody need any prayer? Here, let me lay my hands on you. They're like, whoa. Isn't it amazing that when you declare yourself a Christian, even though you try to witness to some of your friends, they put you off, but when they need you, they call you. Because you're the praying one. You're the Christian one. They ring you up, they find you at lunchtime, and they're like, hey, they kind of pull you off to the side. Hey, you think you could pray for me? They don't want to let anybody else know they're asking you. Why? Because they see something different in you. They know that God hears you and that God answers your prayers. There's something different about who you are. Why? Because you're from heaven, from a different planet. You're on a temporary work visa. Amen? Hallelujah. Paul was not praying here for them, for God to give them more. He didn't ask for that. He was praying for God to make them aware of what they already had. He prayed these three things: God's call in their life, the riches of our inheritance, and the great power that was given to us for the believer. It's our job. It's our mandate. It's written on our work visa, our temporary work visa, because we're out of here soon. It's our job to manifest this great power from our home planet, heaven. Superman, out there. Superwoman. Kryptonite cannot kill you. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Again, we believe Paul wrote the book of Romans because it's so similar to his other letters. He said this, Romans 8, 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. What does life to our mortal flesh mean? It means health, freedom from sickness, strength, long life. I love it. I love when you watch like the Today Show and you see Al Roker. You guys, is he on the Today Show? 60, just turned 60 years old. And I like it when they show the people that have reached 100 or 104. You know, the jelly thing, you know. Yeah, Smucker's people. I mean, I'm thinking 100, 104. I'm thinking to myself, my picture is going to be on that jar someday. I'm going to be on that television show someday. Hallelujah. And it's going to say 120. Hallelujah. 120. Can you say amen? I mean, do you guys have a vision? Well, you know, the average person lifespan in America is only 72 for guys and, you know, 74 for ladies. And I guess that's how long. You guys, you only get going when you turn 70. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to go, Joanne? No, we're not letting you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the same power that lives in me lives in you and quickens your mortal body. Hallelujah. And heals you from your disease. Diabetes doesn't belong to you. Hallelujah. Heart disease, cancer doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to any of us. It belongs to the people that live in this world that aren't serving God. Hallelujah. It doesn't even belong to them. It doesn't belong to anybody. Hallelujah. We're here. I mean, God, Jesus healed the unbeliever as much as the believer. Hallelujah. As a supernatural advertisement that God was alive. It doesn't belong to any human being. Huh. We have alien powers. Do 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 do. What do you call that? Nanu nanu. Robin Williams, 60 years old. Sad. If he understood what he had in him, I heard it one time somebody actually had prayed with him to receive Christ. He didn't have a deficiency problem. He had an awareness problem. Can you imagine what somebody like that could have done for God with the influence that he had? The guy is crazy. Crazy funny, that's for sure. Hallelujah. Mrs. Doubtfire, classic. It's just a classic. We're going to have to watch Mrs. Doubtfire 2 in heaven, I guess. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. I'll let you go today. And our homework this week is I want you to pray that Ephesians 1, 17 through 20 prayer. Just write it down, put it somewhere, pray it out loud. Pray it out loud. As you're brushing your teeth. Amen? That's all you can do is just brushing your teeth. I say, Father, I ask that you give unto me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray that the eyes of my heart will be enlightened. Just pray it. Pray it out loud. Amen. If you're driving in your car, put it on your dashboard. Cut a little piece of paper out, put it on your dashboard. As you're driving, just pray it out loud in your car. How many of you drive to work half hour? You can pray some prayers. Do like I did when I was first saved. I had all the prayers taped to my dashboard of my car. Now, don't do what I did and not pay attention because I got in an accident because I was praying too much. But, you know, watch the road. Don't be distracted. That's the truth. I was praying. Back then, we were praying the Our Father prayers. You guys remember that? We were going through the Our Father, and we were praying the Larry Lee or whatever, Our Father prayers. And I was just praying. And I'm on this country road, and there's all these trees, and there's one car going to take a left. And nobody else there. And he wouldn't take a left. And I'm, boom, I hit the back of his car. I couldn't tell my boss. It was because I was praying, you know. Thought I was crazy. The crazy things you did back then, right? See, we need to all get a little bit more of that childlike faith and boldness back. Because the older we get in our Christianity, the more stuck we are in our ways and the more excuses that we make. You guys out there? God's not through with you yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "For what God gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift?" We have alien powers. See, you know what the problem with weak Christianity is? Weak Christianity is demonic. Weak Christianity is demonic. You are a powerhouse from heaven. You may be in this world, but you are not of this world. You're an alien. And it's on the inside that counts. So stop focusing so much on the outside, which will keep you distracted from what's on the inside. We spend more time focusing on the outside and fixing our outside than the inside. I'm not saying you shouldn't wear deodorant, look good, dress good. Please put on some perfume before you come to church. Can you say amen? I always tell the interns, make sure you wear your deodorant, because if you don't, I'm going to make you put some on. Okay? Because I'm not sitting next to you and smelling you all day. But we need to focus on what's on the inside. Amen? And spend time developing and becoming aware of what God has placed on the inside of us. Because it's on the inside that counts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. I'm proving to you here that through the scriptures this morning, of the power that God's given you to do greater things. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Because why? Because we are all citizens of heaven, and he's our king. Hallelujah. That'll change your thinking right there. We are the temple of the living God. Last scripture, 1 John 4:17. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. 1 John 4:17 says this, "In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world." As he is, so are we. What he has, so do we. The same Spirit. This is not talking about in the future when we get to heaven. This is talking about right now. as he is, so are we. Folks, I want to let you know this morning that we have more than enough to get the job done. More than enough. What is flowing through Christ in heaven is flowing through us on the earth. As he is, so are we. So the next time a problem arises, consider it an opportunity to demonstrate the power he's placed in you. Amen? The attacks will come. The devil hates the fact that we're even teaching about this or preaching about this. You will not hear this message in many church and denominations across the world. The devil does not want you to know what you have and who you are. He does not want you to be aware of the power that's been placed in you. The power that's been placed in you, the wisdom to parent, the wisdom to do everything that you need to do in order to live an amazing, successful life on this earth. An amazing, powerful life on this earth. If we can just get over ourselves and get over the outside and have this mentality of where we're from and who we belong to and where we've come from and understand that heaven is our home, it'll change your life. It'll change your whole daily activity and your whole outlook and your whole perspective. When you guys go back to school, it'll change your school. Sure, grades are important, getting good grades, but how many of your friends at school need to know this Jesus? How many need the power of God in their lives? How many need the freedom that you're experiencing? And the relationship that you have with Christ. How many are sick and need your prayers and the power that's in you? Hallelujah. We literally can change our neighborhood, we can change our world, but we have got to get past ourselves, we've got to get past popularity contest, we've got to get past pleasing people, pleasing our parents, pleasing our friends at work, our friends at school. We've got to get past all that. And we've got to come to the realization that I was sent here for a greater purpose on this earth. My job is my job. Thank God for my job. I need the money in order to live on this world. But in the midst of it, God wants to give you ministry opportunities to let your light shine and be the salt of the earth. Are you guys out there? It's amazing what you can do. Some of you is going into your senior year. Don't regret your senior year by going back to school and doing the same old, playing the same old relationship, dating, sex, drugs, whatever culture game that you know is going to destroy you if you continue that way. It will. I always tell our kids, most people that graduate from high school don't even talk to their high school friends a few months later. How many here have high school friends? I couldn't even tell you their names. Yeah, we put so much bank into it and so much effort into pleasing our friends at school, and we end up broke and bankrupt in our spiritual life. Wishing we would have done something different. Don't have any regrets. Live your life as if Jesus is coming back every day, because he is. And let's take some people with us. Let's populate heaven. Amen? Let's create some citizens of heaven. I know we're in a transition time in the next few weeks. We're here at this building, but I'm telling you, God has his hand upon this new name of our church and this new building. And we're going to have a grand opening, and people are going to come. And the building's going to fill. And we're going to see people born again. We're going to see lives changed. We're going to see people healed. We're going to see a youth group explode. Hallelujah. A children's ministry explode. Families are going to come. We're going to go to two services and maybe three. because it's too small. Amen? And we all are a part of it. We're all part of this heavenly culture and permeating this world with the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Amen? Let's all stand up.